The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Grill, talk to Rajiv Peshwaria, the Chief Executive of Eclif Leadership and Governance Centre, a non-profit organisational development unit created and funded by Bank Negara. Now, Rajiv, welcome back to The Grill. Let's start and kick off with Eclif Institution. Now, according to its 2016 annual report, Bank Negara's total contingent assets as of December 2016 amounted to 1.4 billion ringgit, of which 57%, or 800 million ringgit, comprises contributions to your organization. What does the Malaysian taxpayer receive in return for this sum of money?
So, first of all, thank you for having me. Let me clarify. The 800 million that you're talking about is actually put aside in a trust fund. All right? We don't touch that money. That money is invested by a board of trustees in whatever means they see fit. And only the shortfall between our revenue and our expenses is funded from the investment income on that trust fund. Every year, we actually contribute a net positive to it because we use less and less and less of the income. So forget about the principal. We don't even touch half the income. So that's how it operates. The reason for that is because any research-based organization in the world till today, even if they're over 100 years old, are not profit-making. That's the nature of research-based education.
Correct. It's a lot of money, though, 800 million ringgit. How come such a vast sum was set aside? We're discussing legacy issues. Yeah, you set up a long time ago, but shed some light on the matter.
So it sounds like a large amount of money in the context of what we are talking about. But you compare research-based organizations around the world, and frankly, it's not a large amount of money. Most research-based organizations around the world have much larger corpuses, some running into billions. So this is quite minuscule compared to research and compared to the mandate that that Eclif has. So it sounds like that, but to the person who's not familiar with the research industry.
Now, of course, you were created in 2003, right?
Yes.
Since then, quite a number of key management and process-related omissions in the local banking system, several of which have resulted in millions of ringgit in fines by Bank Negara, your creator in the first place. How have at all these incidents really altered the way you run courses at Eclif?
So, it's a great question. And let's go back to the basic reason why Eclif was even started. It was on the heels of the late 90s currency crisis. And at that time, a couple of people, including Tan Sri Zetty, said and noted that this was not a crisis of currencies and this was not a crisis of finance. It is a crisis of leadership. And if the Asian century, which was coming at that time, and if Asian companies, and particularly Malaysian companies that are going to go global and benefit from the so-called oncoming Asian century, we need better leadership and we need better governance. That's why we were set up. Now, what is the problem with all the issues and the lack of integrity stuff that you're sort of alluding to? I think the big problem is that we understand leadership wrongly. Not only in Malaysia, but everywhere in the world. Leadership is seen as a title and a position and an ability to influence other people to do what you want to do with your power. That's typically the picture of leadership, right? Instead, the mission of Eclif is to change the definition of the way people understand leadership. Today, the world is facing daunting challenges as well as exciting opportunities thanks to 24/7 connectivity, right? To exploit those opportunities and to address those daunting challenges like lack of water and food, we're going to have to redefine leadership away from titles, positions, skills, and competencies to a burning desire to create a better future based on the right values.
Now,
that's what we're trying
you've
to do.
Also, you're quite a prolific writer, Rajiv, and one of your recent articles suggests that leadership in the current here and now should be more autocratic in nature. Now, perhaps that formula might work in the Western world, but largely in Asia, in developing Asia, including Malaysia, leadership has been autocratic, it has been authoritarian, and yet we've had these omissions. How do you reconcile these two differences?
Very interesting. The reason why we did this research, we researched people in 28 countries. It was the largest research of its kind in the world. Think about this. Every book, every literature, everything on leadership talks about the fact that a democratic, all-inclusive, I love you all style of leadership is the right way to go, right? Take people along with you if you want to go further. Whereas you have people like Steve Jobs, Lee Kuan Yew, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, all of who have changed the history of the world by being autocratic. So we asked people in 28 countries which of the two is true. I'll spare the details of the research. You can look it up in our books and website. But unanimously, all our global database agreed that autocratic leadership was needed, including in Malaysia and the other 27 countries that we talked to. Sample sizes in every country were statistically relevant. An independent research firm conducted and collected the data for us, so there's no bias in there. Here's the issue. You are in an age where everybody can join every debate because everybody has a smartphone with social media on it, right? Building consensus is almost impossible. If you want results, you got to be a bit autocratic. What people are saying.
Let's go back to leadership, right, as a concept. Now, of course, leaders don't come more formidable than former Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Izzati Akhtar Aziz. Now, last year in a Sinchu interview with a newspaper, she said that the 1MDB case was her toughest period in office as she was to lead the central bank, which lacked the powers to prosecute despite public expectations for action. Now, she sits on your board as head honcho now, as chairwoman. How has ECLIF altered, if at all, its mandates and its concepts and leadership training courses to accommodate what's been happening in Malaysia these last few years?
So ECLIF, from the very beginning, has been trying to redefine leadership as a burning desire to create a better future using the right values. We do not teach case studies. We do not teach competency models. We do not do all the regular stuff that business schools do in leadership training programs. We take people on an inward journey. What are your values? Why are you in this world? How is the world going to be a better place? To wake people up from within. That's what we've been focusing on, and I think that addresses what you were asking.
So in a real sense, how have courses changed? How has the thinking changed within ECLIF? And, to basically reflect what's been happening in Malaysia.
So, like I said, initially when ECLIF was set up, we were doing traditional courses like everybody else was doing, like the business schools were doing, like any other provider was doing. Let's create competency models of what makes a great leader. Let's give you role plays and case studies on those competency models so that you can become a copycat leader like everybody else. We've stopped doing all of that. Our focus is now on values and purpose. Two questions. Who are you? Why are you in this world? What are your values? What drives you? And what is your purpose? How will the world be a better place? To make people realize that leadership is not what you do to people. Leadership is what you do to yourself.
So it's much softer skills nowadays than ever before. Much less quantitative in a way, much more qualitative.
Definitely not. The concept that we've created is a concept called leadership energy. At a personal level, you get your leadership energy with clarity of values and purpose. Why does Nelson Mandela go through 27 years of prison and still not give up? Because he's clear about his values and he's clear about his purpose. Even when his family leaves him, he still says, I will go for forgiveness rather than what my family is telling me to do. That's nothing soft about that. Those are hard skills. And then on the organizational level, we teach about three things. Strategy, organizational architecture, and culture, something that we call brains, bones, and nerves. Those three determine the energy, the collective energy of the organization. Again, very measurable, very quantifiable. Is what you're doing in terms of organizational architecture and culture leaking energy? We can measure that. These are the kind of things that we teach. But first, you have to discover your own strong, long-lasting leadership energy.
We're talking to Rajiv Pashwaria, the Chief Executive of ECLIF Leadership and Governance Centre, which is a non-profit organisational development unit created and funded by Bank Negara. After this, Rajiv, we're going to be still talking about ECLIF's purpose as well as its evolving nature.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
This morning on the grill, Rajiv Pashwaria, the Chief Executive of ECLIF Leadership and Governance Centre, created and funded by Bank Negara. Now, here's the thing, Rajiv. Last we left it, we talked about how your mandate, and obviously it's always changing. In Bank Negara's annual report, it says that the money set aside for ECLIF relates to the training, research and development of human resources in banking and financial services, full stop. Now, obviously you have gone on to wider industries and you now cut a broad swath across the whole corporate sector. At what point in time did ECLIF's mandate broaden and why did it do that?
So it started broadening about 8 years ago. And the reason for that is that there was a realization that, financial services industry cannot sit in isolation amongst themselves and talk about leadership and governance. A, the financial services industry lends to and interacts with all industries and governments. right? So to be isolated in its own bubble is not the right thing to do. B, you can learn best practice on leadership and governance from just about any aspect of life and any industry. Hence, this idea that we combine. Now, you look at all the most respected leadership and governance institutes around the world. They don't focus on any one industry either. So that was the idea, that eventually bringing this good practice from other organizations and other companies and industries will benefit the financial services industry.
Do you find it incongruous that the financial industry in Malaysia has not yet prosecuted anyone for 1MDB? You know, obviously, there's nothing to do with you guys at Eclif, but in terms of what you teach and in terms of culpability, probably in terms of a wider scope versus what's happening in Singapore, for example, do you find it incongruous in that respect?
You know, I think the law will take its own course, what it's supposed to take its own course. I do not comment about, you know, the legal system in any country. That said, it is what it is. Pursuing the wrong values and pursuing the wrong purpose is not the right thing to do per what we teach at Eclif. That's got no bearing on anything to do with the financial services industry in the country.
But in terms of the values, you know, within the financial services industry, because basically Malaysia's banks and all banks basically being the custodians of the country's financial reserves is, you know, calls to mind much higher degree of care and basically of values. In what you teach and what you dispose to your clients and customers now, again, I just want to harp on how these things have changed, mm-hmm. if at all.
You know, this issue of integrity, particularly in financial services, is an issue all over the world. The industry deals with vast amounts of money flows, and it is easy for some people to lose their way. This has happened through financial scandals all over the world,
correct,
and through the history of the banking industry.
Correct. I also find it very incongruous that, you know, in all of America, not one banker has gone to jail yet for the global financial crisis.
You
bet. I mean, governance has been gaining momentum for a great number of years now, since the financial crisis. But in terms of actual prosecution, do you not find it incongruous that
absolutely
in Malaysia and in America as well?
I absolutely do. I mean, you know, the 2008 financial crisis, which I lived through,
and you worked at Bohm Morgan Stanley.
Absolutely.
You know what it's like.
We worked very hard to save the firm from the brink of disaster. And, you know, let's talk about how these things happen, which comes back to what we are trying to do at Eclif, which is, do you have the right brains, bones, and nerves, particularly the nerves, the values-based culture? The financial crisis was created because of wrong incentive systems, okay? People working in the industry were encouraged to lend to people who could never pay back and book their profits long before the tenure of the loan was over. So, you know, it's like I book a transaction, and the profits may come through over the next 10 years or may not, but I take my bonus and go to the beach today. There were some of us on Wall Street who were shouting at the top of our lungs that this is wrong, we cannot do that. And then those firms that were able to fix that issue early enough didn't lose money, didn't lose reputation, but most of them did. Greed is a very basic human phenomenon. You know, if you say that, you know, a bust is coming and you were wrong by 3/4, you could have lost billions of dollars for your firm. That's the problem with the financial services industry.
We are talking to Rajiv Pashwaria, the CEO of Eclif Leadership and Governance Center, created and funded by Bank Negara, on The Grill this morning. Now, in that vein, have you seen, I mean, obviously, you in your realm, you do your thing, right? And obviously, you are a not-for-profit. There are certain limitations to what you can do. Have you seen the financial services industry restructure itself to wean itself off this incentive-based bonus system, which has been so deleterious?
Absolutely.
To the system?
I think that shift is happening around the world. I think the industry is learning. I think there are many, many examples, not just on Wall Street, but internationally, including here, where banks have understood the implications of that and taking steps. I would also say two things. Bank Negara and some of the other regulators, particularly Bank Negara here in Malaysia in our context, has been pretty proactive about this, that, you know, show us what you're doing about it. The very fact that they had the vision, if I may say so myself, to set up Eclif to focus on values and purpose and integrity in leadership all those years ago shows great leadership on the part of Bank Negara.
And that could be true as well. But the thing is, there's also some concern that maybe we're being too over-regulated to the detriment of other more important processes. Is there a danger of that, Bridget?
Oh, yes. And that's not true here. It's true everywhere. You know, there's a very fine line between directing the industry based on high integrity and values and becoming overregulated. And that is something every central banker in the world has to keep a very keen eye on.
Now, as I understand it, you've told me that, in fact, more than half your business is done overseas, outside of Malaysia. And, you know, obviously, within the stuff that you do in Malaysia, less than half your work is with GLCs. Now, talk to me about the pace of change within executives and within management systems and board of directors between, say, the GLC realm and the private sector realm. What is your take? What is your insight in terms of how companies are changing, evolving to accommodate better values in their processes?
It all boils down to a few people at the top of the organization. Okay, we say that, you know, this is the era of flat organizations and less hierarchy. But the fact is, human beings by nature are hierarchical. The moment we are born and we learn to understand the world, we realize that there's an authority figure called our parents that we need to please in order to get rewarded. And that never changes. So we are designed to look up to authority. And in the corporate context with the GLC or private sector, it all depends on what some of the top people, how they are setting the tone. If the tone is set that we are going to be innovative, we are going to be ambitious, and we are going to change the world and do it with the right values and right integrity, then that's the what's going to trickle down in the culture. The problem happens in organizations where leaders talk the talk but don't walk the talk. I don't even call such people leaders. I call them bosses, by the way.
And you've also written something about bosses. What was your column about? It was very interesting.
So it was actually what you're referring to is my first book, which I wrote almost 10 years ago.
That's right.
Called Too Many Bosses, Too Few Leaders.
That's right.
To exactly make the point that you're making.
So have things changed? Have the GLCs basically got themselves much more lean and trim and fighting fit, do you think?
You know, I get asked
in the 10 years since you last wrote the book, Rajiv.
I get asked this question a lot, and particularly in Eclipse contest. So, you know, Eclipse, you guys have been doing this for such a long time. Are there more better leaders in Malaysia now than they were before?
Yeah.
And I, through my books and my colleagues' books and articles, are we changing the world? You know, the answer is a big no. I'll tell you why. But at the same time, we'll still claim victory. let me explain. In 1906, Wilfredo Pareto told us about the 80-20 rule or the Pareto principle, right? That 80% of the causes are because of 20% of the effects. The effects are because of 20% of the causes. The fact that in leadership, it's also going to be 80-20. Leadership is hard. It's a choice to struggle to create a better future against the odds. And if 20% of the people choose leadership, that's good enough already. So are we waking up one person at a time in one organization at a time? And are they waking 5 or 10 more? Absolutely. Is that going to increase the number of leaders in percentage from 20% to 40% to 60%? No. The law of nature is 80-20. And as long as, you know, a few people wake up and do the right thing within their organizations, it's already worth it. And we have had many, many instances of people who've transformed their cultures after attending our courses that we take a lot of pride in that.
What about within the family holding structure realm within, you know, Malaysia? Obviously, the family structure is very important within the private sector. Have you seen much change there?
Again, I think the value system is changing. What's happening in Asia overall, including in Malaysian family-owned businesses, is that the original founders or the earlier generation, they've been sending their younger generation overseas to study. To the best prestigious schools, universities and grad school and things like that. They're coming back with a very different view of the world. And the millennial generation particularly is more, and there's research this on this a lot, to them, meaning is more important than money. So they're bringing in a set of values and they want to act with those values. It's criticism about the millennials that old people, if you forgive my thing, have that, you know, they don't have the right values. I'm sorry, I disagree. It's the other way around. Young people today are more interested in meaning than in money. So I am actually hopeful that even in the private sector and the family-owned businesses, you will see going forward much stronger emphasis on the right values.
Well, correct.
And also, by the way, we live in the naked era. Everybody is naked today. And so the only way to go forward is to have the right values and have a values-based purpose.
I guess we're still in a state of transition now, Rajiv, because most of the Yale and Harvard graduates that have come back, mid-20s or what have you, are still under the matriarchal structure. I think it was Jean-Claude Beaver, the CEO of Tai Kwai, who said that the 21st century doesn't really begin until, say, 2030, 2035, when the people who are born in the new millennium take charge of their companies, not under the legacy systems of their parents or of the shareholding structure.
You bet. It's so right. I recently addressed a gathering of young millennials who are particularly the next generation of family-owned businesses, and it was so great talking to them. Because of exactly what you're saying. You see, the open source era, the current times that we are talking about, it has a built-in audit mechanism. On the one hand, we talked earlier about the fact that you need to be autocratic to drive results because otherwise consensus will take all the time away. On the other hand, every action of yours is visible to the world, so therefore you are naked. right? So even if you want to be autocratic, nobody will let you be. So the answer is to have the right values and the right purpose. Be autocratic about your values and purpose at all times. At the same time, be very humble and respectful with people because you're on display 24/7. So there's a built-in audit mechanism going on here. That's the beauty of the current era.
What about eCliff itself? I tried to find your financial accounts. I couldn't find it. I've only gotten your financial numbers from you, and I think you run into 20 million ringgit deficit on an annual basis. But what about at eCliff yourself? How are you structuring the business, or rather the NGO, the not-for-profit, to reflect what you basically teach people?
Absolutely. We are working towards lesser and lesser dependence on the income of the trust fund, as I explained earlier. We don't actually use the principal. We only use part. And, it's a declining trend that we will you asked, why are we going international? Well, how do you increase revenue unless you become more global? And as we become more global, as revenue increases, our dependence over time, and I'm projecting about 5 to 7 years, will stop depending on the trust fund at all.
What about yourself in your role? I think, 4 years ago we spoke to each other, you were CEO then. How many more years have you gotten under your contract? And how would you like to leave your legacy when that day comes?
So I am in my third contract. These are three-year rolling contracts, and I've got just about 1 year left to this contract.
Would you be renewed beyond the third, or is there no more fourth?
There's no such thing. We are talking, and we haven't had that conversation yet formally with the board. I am very committed to eCliff. I believe that, what we have created now is not just something that Malaysia can be proud of. It's something that we've literally redefined what governance and leadership is. When was the last time you saw, Wall Street Journal bestsellers coming out of Malaysia in the business realm? So it's a lot that a team has to be proud of. I'm not taking credit. It's all the team that's done this. And we are poised right now. It's that curve in the hockey stick bottom. We are poised to grow globally. Our reputation now, we've got clients in Europe and US. So I'm committed.
So in the best intentions of autocratic leadership, will we see a Rajiv Peshwaria in the fourth term as eCliff CEO?
Sorry, say that again.
Will we see a Rajiv Peshwaria as CEO for a fourth term?
We shall see. I can
do
tell
you want
you,
it?
In one way or the other, I will definitely be connected with eCliff.
I'm presuming you want it, right? In your fourth term, what would you do if you got it?
My vision for eCliff has not changed. It is the same. We want to be one of the most respected leadership and governance centers in the world. All right? And I want people to believe that Malaysia can produce such an intellectual house, which is not the common perception. So that doesn't change. As far as I will continue or not, I will continue to be associated with eCliff in some way, shape, or form for sure, perhaps as CEO as well. We shall see. I'm thinking that through at the moment.
Thank you so much for your insights and your honesty. That was Rajiv Peshwaria, the Chief Executive of eCliff Leadership and Governance Centre, a non-profit organisational development unit created and funded by Bank Negara, BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.